Welcome back, everybody. Time for another episode of WVU Marketing Communications Today. Coming to you live, really live, right from the heart of West Virginia University. Somewhere down in the deep communication center is our guest host today, Matthew Cummings. Hey, Matthew.
Hey, Paul. How are you? Thank you.
I'm good. Are you down in the command center here?
We are. We are coming to you live today from Integrate 2019, the Integrate Conference on the campus of West Virginia University here in Morgantown. We have an audience today, which is a little different than usual for this podcast here in the Media Innovation Center. This is home of WVU's Integrated Marketing Communications Online Master's Program and the Data Marketing Communications Online Master's Program. And this weekend, it's the hub of the Integrate Conference. So over the next 3 days, nearly 150 attendees will arrive here on campus in Morgantown from 22 states and learn from a number of speakers and panelists and participate in industry-related workshops. Those here on campus include marketing communications professionals, IMC and DMC faculty, current students, and alumni. Today, I am fortunate to have an opportunity to chat with one of my IMC faculty colleagues, Dr. Frank Mara. Frank teaches IMC 631, Crisis Communication, and IMC 628, Applied Public Relations in the Online Integrated Marketing Communications Program. Dr. Mara is an accomplished scholar and practitioner, decades of public relations experience, also worked at radio and television stations, including the top-rated talk radio station in Washington, D.C., so he's no stranger to the microphone. Dr. Mara is a former president of the Public Relations Society of America's Finger Lakes chapter and co-chaired PRS. Essays MBA project for 2 years. He earned his bachelor's degree from Carleton University in Ottawa, Ontario, master's from the University of Florida, and his doctorate from the University of Maryland. Today we're going to talk about the current state and the future of public relations. Frank, thank you so much for being here.
Matthew, nice to be here.
I want to start with probably a pretty basic question for you, but I think it's important for us to kind of level set. You know, people, even marketing communications professionals, tend to confuse public relations and marketing and advertising. Can you start out by explaining the similarities and differences to us?
Let me see if I can do this in 30 seconds. Normally, it takes about 12 weeks of a full semester class. First, what public relations is not. It is more than publicity. It's more than being a spokesperson. We are strategic counselors. It's also more than liking people. It's more than good interpersonal skills. Public relations is not about liking people. Funeral directors like people. Cannibals like people. Public relations, again, we're strategic counselors. Okay. Marketing, advertising, public relations, it's all forms of communication. And because we all do sort of the same thing, integrated marketing communication, everybody assumes that they're the same thing, but they are not. There are some important differences. A couple of them, just very quickly. Marketing and advertising, their primary focus is on one public, and that's the customers, the consumer. Public relations, on the other hand, its primary focus is on multiple publics. Customers, employees, reporters, legislators, donors, lots of different publics. Another difference between advertising, marketing, and public relations is the objective. The objective of marketing and advertising is to make money for an organization, to earn revenue, to generate a profit. Public relations, the flip side of that, the objective of public relations is to save money. It's to build relationships with its important publics to prevent problems.
I didn't time you there, but that was a very comprehensive definition. And if I were to guess early on, I didn't think you'd have funeral directors in that definition. So I definitely appreciate that. Let's talk about the current state of the public relations industry. What can you tell us about that? And where are we at today?
There are people who are far wiser and have more experience than that in about the specific details of where public relations is and where it's going. But the biggest thing about public relations today is change, change, change. Hmm. Communication is evolving before our eyes in real time. The technology is changing. Social trends are changing. I'll give you two good quotes. Rob Flaherty is the chairman of Ketchum, a public relations agency, and he said, half of everything needed now to practice public relations did not exist 10 years ago. Mike Fernandez, another public relations leader, said the pace of change will never be as slow as it is now. So it's change, change, change. It's happening daily, right before our very eyes. The profession is evolving.
Let's dive into that a little bit more and talk about what some of the biggest changes are during the last few years. And considering what dominates our news cycle now, I would guess that political communication is a big change in how public relations is practiced.
We are advocates for the company and the people that we represent. And there's a professional association, the Public Relations Society of America, and all of its members take a pledge. And it says, and this is a quote, "I pledge to conduct myself professionally with truth, accuracy, fairness, and responsibility to the public." Again, public relations is about building relationships, building trust with our publics. We are accurate. We are honest. We are ethical advocates for our clients. We cannot build relationships. We cannot build trust if we spin, if we mislead, or if we lie. In political communication, as you mentioned, Matthew, today it seems the end justifies the means. We say whatever it takes to get elected. We say whatever it takes to make a point. This misleading information, this blatant lying, is not acceptable. It's not ethical public relations practice. When we lie, we kill our credibility, and we kill the credibility of our company and our clients. It's not what we want to do. It is counterproductive to effective public relations practice.
You know, I want to stay on this topic of ethics for a little bit longer. You know, PR is often misunderstood. You gave us a great definition up front. But, you know, as we talked at the top of the show, it kind of gets a bad rap sometimes. So is it possible to be successful and also be strategic in public relations and do so ethically? And what are some resources that those that that want to learn more can go to?
It is possible to be successful and strategic and ethical in public relations, but it is a challenge. Sometimes, for example, a public relations manager wants to make an ethical decision, perhaps to release information that legally needs to be available. But they may not have the access, the influence, and power within the company to make that happen. If you aren't at the decision-making table, your ethical behavior just won't matter. So you have to be part of the decision-making group of an organization. If you're not, no matter how ethical you are, it really won't make a difference. Another barrier to ethical decision-making is fear. Do you want to challenge your boss? Do you want to lose your job? Are you afraid to stand up for doing what is right? And some public relations managers have substantial salaries. They have substantial benefits. They have substantial power. Doing the right thing, doing the ethical thing, would put this lifestyle at risk. It becomes easier to look the other way. Good news, though. The Public Relations Society of America, the International Association of Business Communicators, and public relations societies across the world, they are strong advocates for ethical behavior. They are advocates for doing what is right and standing up for the ethical solution to a situation. And another good news situation is that most public relations programs at colleges and universities across the country, there has been a strong recommendation from the accrediting group that all of these public relations programs have required full semester classes in ethics. And this should be come into effect probably within the next few years. So students will have a strong grounding in ethics as it applies to public relations practice. They will know what they need to do right. They will know what needs to be done, what is done that if it's wrong. And so this will be a strong, strong addition to defining ethical practice before students get that first job.
That's great news, not only for the industry, but also for the profession itself. You know, Frank, more often than not, when a crisis occurs, there's typically a big difference between what an attorney will suggest a company says and what the public relations manager suggests that the company or organization should say. I worked for many years in public education communications, and I would spend hours crafting what I thought was a fantastic 2 to 3 paragraph statement, only to see it reduced by our attorney down to 40 words. What's your advice for PR professionals when they find themselves in these situations?
The difference is the court of law versus the court of public opinion. Attorneys, and the law will tell you what you must say in a given situation, perhaps a crisis. A public relations manager will tell you what you should say, not what you must say. If you talk to an attorney, they will tell you to say as little as possible so you can protect yourself in a court of law. And that's pretty good advice. A public relations manager, on the other hand, they will tell you to say as much as possible to protect your reputation in the court of public opinion. That's good advice, too. Here's where the conflict comes in. These are often exact opposite strategies. The attorneys are saying no comment. The public relations managers are saying talk, explain, tell people what happened. Both of these strategies are valid. The chief executive officer is listening to both of these different strategies and has to come to a decision about what to do. Do you want to protect yourself in a court of law, which will take months and years to resolve and could involve hefty, substantial fines in the tens and hundreds of millions of dollars? On the other hand, in the court of public opinion, a chief communication officer is saying we have to explain ourselves. If we do not, our reputation will be ruined and we won't have to worry about paying any fines or facing any legislative penalties down the road. Again, months and years down the road. In a crisis, for example, reputations can be ruined in minutes. A story is posted, it goes viral, and so organizations need to respond quickly, and you have to respond to the court of public opinion, looking at the balance between the court of law. The good news, in many organizations where you had this barrier between public relations and the legal office, today, attorneys and public relations, they are now partners. They are working together to find a balance in terms of statements to release. Attorneys, they now recognize the importance of communication. They recognize the importance of saving an organization's reputation. Chief communications officers and public relations staff, now they are more legally literate, and they understand the issues that restrict or require the release of information. So that balance is coming together, and where there was a very strong difference between legal and communication, now everybody's, in more cases than not, working more closely together to find that balance of communication.
Great insight, great conversation. I appreciate how you're answering or finishing every question with the good news about public relations. So we really appreciate that. You know, we're going to take a quick break now. When we return, we're going to talk more with Dr. Frank Mara about the profession, skills a PR pro needs to succeed, and also the importance in this industry of business literacy. We'll be right back.
And just a quick reminder that today's program is coming to you live from the campus of West Virginia University, where they have the online data marketing communications program, first of its kind in the country, focusing on strategic thinking, critical problem solving, and informed decision making. The data marketing communications program at WVU prepares you for your career by helping find the innovative tactics you need to succeed in this ever-changing field from award-winning faculty like those talking today. To learn more, simply visit the website. It's got a bunch of letters. Write them down quickly. dmc.wvu.edu. That stands for the Data Marketing Communications Program, only at West Virginia University. Okay, back to our guests and their overview, their quick 30-minute take of what normally takes weeks and weeks to delve into.
No doubt. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it. Again, we're back here live at the Media Innovation Center on the campus of West Virginia University, and we're talking with Dr. Frank Mara about public relations, the current state of the industry, and also public relations future. Let's dive right back into it. Industry data show that more women than men work in public relations. Can we talk a little bit about diversity in our profession? Is this a strength or is it a weakness of public relations?
I think the diversity issue is both a strength and a weakness. Public relations is female majority. As you mentioned, there are more women than men practicing public relations, and women have strong communication skills. Deborah Tannen, linguistics professor at Georgetown University, said the communication styles between men and women are different. Women speak in a rapport style of communication, R-A-P-P-O-R-T. Men tend to use report, R-E-P-O-R-T. They're more direct. I think in public relations, the rapport style of communication is stronger. So I think that is a strength in public relations. But there are too few public relations, too few female public relations practitioners who are the leaders of departments and agencies. Lots of women are at the mid-level, but there are too few women who are controlling, who are leading organizations as chief communications officers who own and manage public relations agencies. Most chief communications officers for companies, for agencies, they are still male. There is not enough equity in public relations at this managerial level. There's also a terrible problem with a lack of diversity in all communications professions, not just public relations, but journalism, advertising, marketing. There are far too few minorities. African Americans are not represented well enough. Asian Americans, Hispanics, Latinos, and all other minority groups. It is silly for an organization or a public relations agency to say, we can represent you as a client if you are in the African American market or if you're in a Latino Hispanic market, if the entire staff are white men or white female. So there needs to be far more diversity and inclusion with these minority audiences than currently is now. There is no easy answer. There is lots of solutions have been talked about, but the percentage of minorities needs to increase. We need less talk. We need more action to try and solve this very, very real problem in all of our communications disciplines, not just public relations, but marketing, advertising, journalism, broadcasting as well.
And hopefully today's podcast does its part in introducing the profession and the industry to more diverse audiences. So let's say someone is interested in a career in public relations. What skills would they need?
For the past 25, 30 years, I have always asked people in the communication industry, I say, what skills do you need from the students who are in my classes? What do you expect from students who are graduated from a program in public relations? And for the last 25, 30 years, the answer has always been the same. I want somebody who can write a simple declarative sentence. The ability to write well remains crucial. That's fine. But that actually shifted last year. It's still important to be able to write, say, a statement or a news release that has lots of facts. But now it's shifting to the ability to engage with an audience and to tell a story. And the number one skill that employers are asking for, public relations graduates, is the ability to tell a story, not to write well, but to tell a story. And because chief communication officers are now often part of the senior decision-making group of a company, these chief communications officers, these public relations leaders, need to have business skills that go beyond their expertise in communication. Let me give you an example. All of the organization's senior vice presidents, the people at the decision-making table with the chief executive officer, they are experts in a spreadsheet. They have backgrounds in business and management. They understand accounting, HR, logistics, finance, economics. Public relations, however, is the only person often in the room who does not speak business. So we need to be more business literate so we can talk to our colleagues and understand all of the issues that influence communication and influence the success of an organization.
So based on that importance, though, the business literacy, which is now really required for public relations, how are practitioners today getting those business skills that they need?
Matthew, marketing has always had an advantage over public relations advertising because marketing is typically taught in schools of business. Marketing students learn the concepts of management, and they learn to speak business as a matter of course. If you're a marketing student, you have expertise with Excel and spreadsheets. On the other hand, if you're a communications student, you've probably never opened Excel, and you've probably never used a spreadsheet. The flip side is also true. The business students probably have never used PowerPoint well, whereas the communications students have much more expertise in website design and PowerPoint and things like that. Public relations programs are, however, slowly including more management training. Here in the IMC, Integrated Marketing Communication Program at West Virginia University, we're starting a new public relations leadership program that emphasizes the need for expertise in both communication and business literacy.
So I want to broaden our conversation just a bit, talk a little bit about global and multicultural issues in public relations. What must we consider if we're working for brands or want to work for brands with more of an international presence?
Chances are pretty good that when students graduate, they may well work for a company that is owned outside of the United States. They will work for a multinational company, and it's possible that they will be posted overseas, possibly in London, Tokyo, wherever. I have a friend who used to work for Carrier Heating and Air Conditioning, and every Monday morning at 6 a.m., he had a global conference call with the other people in his group. Globally, the strategies and tactics, they're fairly similar around the world. Special event, crisis management, newsletters, they work pretty well around the world in most situations. But, and this is where it's important, there are lots and lots of local differences between what works in New York and what works in Tokyo or Thailand or South Africa. For example, the primary language in Australia is English, but there are thousands of unique Australian phrases you need to know to be able to be successful there. For example, if I said, let's get a bit of tucker with a poor Australian accent, get a bit of tucker, what are you talking about, right? Well, that's food. Tucker is food, right? So we'll get a bit of tucker. Or let's say, I'll meet you Friday arvo. Right, and you have the puzzled, what does that mean? Friday afternoon. Now, the same thing is true in other cultures. For example, in the United Arab Emirates, the work week is from Saturday to Wednesday, which obviously makes a difference if you're trying to connect with organizations or clients. And the culture of the UAE is all about image. Looking good, publicity is far more important than any actual behavior. So if you are in the United Arab Emirates, you want to look good. Substance is not important at all. So it's important that an organization look good. It's the biggest, it's the best, it's the most whatever. And that's what the clients, that's what the organizations are looking for in Abu Dhabi or Dubai, which would not be relevant and would not certainly work in the United States.
You know, I have just one wrap-up question here before you and I go get some tucker just down the hall here. What other advice, as we wrap things up here today, do you have for students or emerging professionals or others who maybe either want to enter the industry or possibly make a shift from journalism or marketing into PR?
The advice that I would have, Matt, something that somebody else told me that I will share, it's enjoy your work, but recognize the need to balance work and life. There are times when you need to work and at odd hours, for example, a crisis at 11 o'clock on a Sunday night. But there are also times when you need to be able to shut work down so you can be a father or a mother or a brother or a sister. Mm-hmm. We sleep with our iPhones next to our pillows. There are times to disconnect. And what students need to learn is they need to learn to draw that line between work and life.
Great advice, great insights here, Frank. Thank you so much for spending the time here today, and certainly enjoy this Integrate conference and this weekend here in Morgantown. And thank you all for listening to WVU Marketing Communications Today, live from the campus of West Virginia University. I hope you found today's episode as informative as I have, and until next time, take care.
You've been listening to WVU Marketing Communications Today, brought to you live from West Virginia University, a biweekly program that sits at the intersection of data-driven decision-making and marketing practice, only on the Funnel Radio Network, for at-work listeners like you.